Let's read together Job chapters 9 and 10. Now, in these two chapters, we have Job's response to Bildad's first speech. Let's begin by reading the first 13 verses of chapter 9. Then Job answered and said, "Truly, I know it is so, but how can a man be righteous before God? If one wished to contend with him, he could not answer him one time out of 1,000. God is wise in heart and mighty in strength. Who has hardened himself against him and prospered? He removes the mountains, and they do not know when he overturns them in his anger. He shakes the earth out of its place, and its pillars tremble. He commands the sun, and it does not rise. He seals off the stars. He alone spreads out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. He made the Bear, Orion, and the Pleiades, and the chambers of the south. He does great things past finding out. Yes, wonders without number. If he goes by me, I do not see him. If he moves past, I do not perceive him. If he takes away, who can hinder him? Who can say to him, 'What are you doing?' God will not withdraw his anger. The allies of the proud lie prostrate beneath him." Now, for background, let's consider a few interesting statements that Job makes in response to Bildad's first speech. In verse 8, Job says of God, "He alone spreads out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea." The point that Job is making, of course, is that God is sovereign over the heavens and the earth, even over the storms on the earth. When Job said that God stretches out the heavens, was Job aware that God created an expanding universe? Well, we can't say for sure. But that concept is certainly taught in the Bible. In Psalm 104, verse 2, we read that God is stretching out the heavens like a tent curtain. And in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22, we read that God stretches out the heavens. In verse 9 of Job chapter 9, we read that God makes the Bear, Orion, and the Pleiades. These, of course, are star constellations, which were known from ancient times. These are not signs of the zodiac, no. Job's point is that God arranged the stars, including the design of the constellations. In verse 13, the Rahab that's mentioned here is obviously not the woman Rahab, who comes much later in the book of Joshua. This Rahab is a mythological sea monster, symbolic of evil. And Job's point is that God, in his anger, subdues all forces of evil, both actual and mythical. Now, with such a majestic and powerful God, how could Job even hope to plead his case? In the rest of the chapter and on into chapter 10, Job continues to voice his problem as he answers Bildad. And that brings us to our doctrinal or teaching points for these chapters. So, doctrinal point number one. The first response of Job to Bildad misrepresents God. The first response of Job to Bildad misrepresents God. Let's continue reading verses 14 through 24 of Job chapter 9. "How then can I answer him and choose my words to reason with him? For though I were righteous, I could not answer him. I would beg mercy of my judge. If I called and he answered me, I would not believe that he was listening to my voice. For he crushes me with a tempest and multiplies my wounds without cause. He will not allow me to catch my breath, but fills me with bitterness. If it is a matter of strength, indeed he is strong. And if of justice, who will appoint my day in court? Though I were righteous, my own mouth would condemn me. Though I were blameless, it would prove me perverse. I am blameless, yet I do not know myself. I despise my life. It is all one thing. Therefore, I say, he destroys the blameless and the wicked. If the scourge slays suddenly, he laughs at the plight of the innocent. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. He covers the faces of its judges. If it is not he, who else could it be?" Notice in these verses that Job does not deny God or deny the power of God. And Job's problem is not pride. Notice how he even despises his own life, verse 21. But in maintaining his innocence, Job misrepresents God. by implying that God arbitrarily brings suffering to the righteous as well as to the wicked without a good reason or cause. Verse 17. Furthermore, it seemed to Job that it didn't matter to God that Job was righteous. He was declared guilty anyway. Verse 20. And the fact that there are unjust judges on earth, from Job's point of view, is God's fault because he has allowed it unfairly. Verse 24. Well, that's certainly a misrepresentation of God, isn't it? Now, have we ever reasoned the same way? In verses 25 through 35, Job continues to misrepresent God by implying his unfairness. Let's read these verses. Now my days are swifter than a runner. They flee away. They see no good. They pass by like swift ships or ships of reeds, like an eagle swooping on its prey. If I say I will forget my complaint, I will put off my sad face and wear a smile. I am afraid of all my sufferings. I know that you will not hold me innocent. If I am condemned, why then do I labor in vain? If I wash myself with snow water and cleanse my hands with soap, yet you will plunge me into the pit, and my own clothes will abhor me. For he is not a man, as I am, that I may answer him, and that we should go to court together. Nor is there any mediator between us who may lay his hand on us both. Let him take his rod away from me, and do not let dread of him terrify me. Then I would speak and not fear him, but it is not so with me. In these verses, we sense Job's despair. Life is short and slipping by quickly, like a reed boat, verse 26, the Egyptian speedboat of the day. It seemed to Job that God was determined not to acquit Job, no matter what Job did to cheer up or clean up, verses 27 through 32. Job wished that he and God could go together to an arbitrator or umpire where Job would be declared righteous and God would be shown to be treating Job unfairly, verses 33 through 35. Again, Job is implying that God is unfair. The first response of Job to Bildad misrepresents God. Doctrinal point number two. The first response of Job to Bildad challenges God. The first response of Job to Bildad challenges God. Let's continue reading Job chapter 10. Now we see that throughout this chapter, Job challenges God to give him answers. Let's begin by reading the first seven verses. My soul loathes my life. I will give free course to my complaint. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say to God, do not condemn me. Show me why you contend with me. Does it seem good to you that you should oppress, that you should despise the work of your hands and smile on the counsel of the wicked? Do you have eyes of flesh, or do you see as man sees? Are your days like the days of a mortal man? Are your years like the days of a mighty man, that you should seek for my iniquity and search out my sin? Although you know that I am not wicked, and there is no one who can deliver from your hand. In these verses, Job challenges God to give him a reason why he was contending with him. Verse 2. After all, Job was the labor of God's hands. Verse 3. God was not like mortal man who only had limited knowledge. Verses 4 through 6. God had the big picture, but still he would not bring deliverance to Job. Verse 7. Now in verses 8 through 13, Job continues to challenge God and God's ways. Let's read these verses. Your hands have made me and fashioned me, an intricate unity, yet you would destroy me. Remember, I pray that you have made me like clay, and will you turn me into dust again? Did you not pour me out like milk, and curdle me like cheese, clothe me with skin and flesh, and knit me together with bones and sinews? You have granted me life and favor, and your care has preserved my spirit. And these things you have hidden in your heart, I know that this was with you. Job sees God as inconsistent. God created Job and at first was caring for Job. But now it seemed that God was setting Job up to destroy him, as if God had planned it all along. In verses 14 through 17, We see that Job is convinced that God is out to get him, like a stalking lion. Verse 16. No matter how innocent Job was, he is convinced that God would find more witnesses against him. Verse 17. Let's read these verses. If I sin, then you mark me, and will not acquit me of my iniquity. If I am wicked, woe to me. Even if I am righteous, I cannot lift up my head. I am full of disgrace. See my misery. If my head is exalted, you hunt me like a fierce lion. And again, you show yourself awesome against me. You renew your witnesses against me and increase your indignation toward me. Changes and war are ever with me. In verses 18 through 22, once again, we see that Job wished he had never been born. Let's read these verses. Why then have you brought me out of the womb? Oh, that I had perished and no eye had seen me. I would have been as though I had not been. I would have been carried from the womb to the grave. Are not my days few? Cease, leave me alone, that I may take a little comfort before I go to the place from which I shall not return, to the land of darkness and the shadow of death, a land as dark as darkness itself, as the shadow of death, without any order, where even the light is like darkness. Job reasoned that if he had been a miscarriage, he would have gone from womb to tomb and would have been spared all of this suffering. Verses 18 and 19. And notice again the challenge to God at the beginning of verse 18. Why then have you brought me out of the womb? And then in verse 20, Job requests God to withdraw from him so that he could have a little cheer before he died. Job, of course, now is forever grateful that God did not grant that prayer request. So we've seen that the first response of Job to Bildad challenges God. And that brings us now to our practical application for these two chapters of Job. Get right with God. Get right with God. Now let's go back to verses 1 and 2 of chapter 9 for our practical application. Then Job answered and said, truly, I know it is so, but how can a man be righteous before God? Job chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Now, in the context, Job is not asking about salvation and justification, but about vindication, that is, proving his innocence. However, Job's question can certainly be applied to salvation and justification. This is one of life's great questions. How can a person be justified before God? Well, the Bible gives the only right answer. It is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus died for our sins on the cross. He died as our substitute for the penalty of our sins. Now God can declare us as justified and righteous, not because of our own righteousness, but because of the righteousness of Christ, which is imputed to us who believe. That is, God now sees us and accepts us in Christ. Read Romans chapter 3 in this connection. But remember, salvation and justification are not automatic. You must come to faith in Christ in order to get right with God. Get right with God.